Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalm 31. Psalm 31. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. I will give you some time as you flip to your Bibles. Psalm 31. To the choir master, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and you guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and work for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I have said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Good morning, church. Pastor Jackson here. I'm one of the pastors of Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. A warm welcome to today's church service. Today, we begin on a new series looking at mental stress and mental health, drawing especially from the book of Psalms as we deal with everyday stress and anxiety. However, I must first clarify that this is not a seminar series. This doesn't necessarily look from a complete counseling perspective, although we may look at some counseling aspects in some parts. But what this series is to have a spiritual and pastoral look at stress and anxiety in our lives, and to learn from the writers of the Bible how they view their own stress and anxiety, particularly, of course, from the book of Psalms. From here, we hope to garner spiritual insights to how Christians can and should view and deal with our stress and anxiety as we keep our eye upon Jesus, the writer and perfecter of our Christian faith in God. Let us pray as we begin together. Dear God, we give thanks to you for this morning that we can gather to listen to your word, to worship you. And although we may be in our homes, but we know, God, together we are in spirit, and we are united by your Holy Spirit. Bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My first point, not a slumbering God. What are the stress and anxiety that we face today? Of course, to answer that, how are you coping with the stay-home measures of the COVID-19 situation? Perhaps the working or studying from home, the lack of social contact and activities, or even the financial issues from the reduction or loss of job is causing you psychological and emotional stress. Now, I read earlier this week a news article on Channel News Asia about a family living in a rental flat apartment with 8 children. Now, one of the eldest daughters needs to attend home-based learning classes, but she has to juggle between screaming toddler siblings. And those are the siblings who are in primary school who need her help with their own home-based classes. Reading the article, my heart goes out to this family as I reflect and compare with my own stay-home situation. Physically, although in a slightly light-hearted kind of way, all the video conferencing that we are doing, all the working and studying using computer might be eventually detrimental to our health and our skin and our whole health condition. And this was written in another Channel News Asia article. On a national scale, Singapore's total employment has dropped to the lowest since 2003. With our MAS reporting uncertainty as we face recession and the expectation of more job losses and wage cuts due to COVID-19. There could be more of this stress and pressures that we are facing. But these are like our enemies and adversaries that we are facing today. For the psalmist in the Bible, now psalmist simply means the person who write the psalm, hence called psalmist. Now for the psalmist, here in this Psalm 31, in verses 9 and 10, he wrote, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my ears with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away." Now, body and soul wasting away with years of weariness and tear, covered with distress and grief and sorrow from all the bad experiences that this psalmist had encountered in his life. This psalm had been associated to be written by King David, or at least written from the perspectives of his life. Now, Christian scholars cannot agree to which part of David's life this psalm was really referring to. Some scholars think it's the time when his son Absalom rebelled against him in 2 Samuel chapter 15. While other scholars think that it was when people conspired to trap him and send him to King Saul, who wanted to kill him in 1 Samuel chapter 23. Now, in any case, David, or this psalmist, was facing the failings of his physical body, the losing of his strength due to old age, and weariness of his life's pressure upon him. But more than just the failings of his body, there were also real human enemies and adversaries that he faced who were against him. Verses 11 and 13 here shows who are these real human enemies and adversaries that David was facing. The words underlined on the screen are my emphasis. Verse 11 says, "Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances." Verse 12 says, "I have been forgotten. I have become like a broken vessel." Verse 13, he says that there are terror on every side as people together scheme against him and as they plot to take his life. Now, neighbors who reproach him, acquaintances who dreaded him and fled from him, terrible enemies who scheme to take his life, wanting to kill him. Now, did the psychological and mental issues faced by the psalmist compare to those faced by us today? In some ways, yes. The psalmist became a reproach and dread to enemies, or rather to neighbors and friends, acquaintances. He was left alone. Reflecting upon this, not that our neighbors and our friends reproach or hate us today, God forbid that, but for some of that, that may be the case. But definitely, with our stay-home measures, we are facing loneliness as we coop up at home, away from extended family, friends, and even the neighbors next door. Nowadays, I could not even meet up with my mother, since she's not living with me, she's living with my sister-in-law. We do video conferencing, but that doesn't completely give you the same feeling as when you're sitting down with a person at a coffee shop, drinking coffee together, and chatting about life. Now, even my four-year-old daughter is beginning to feel being alone, saying that it's boring at home as she misses her friends, her teachers, and even her grandparents. Now, we may not be facing death threats from human enemies today, but the COVID-19 is a death-threatening virus, and we fear for our lives and the lives of our loved ones. Like the psalmist, our bodies begin to wane and wear out as we hole up at home, not able to travel out to play or for social activities. Even some of our favorite exercises, such as team ball games like basketball, volleyball, football, or swimming, have all need to be put on hold. Now we are reduced to doing calisthenics at home, or quick jog or cycling around the park before we must quickly come back home. The feelings of entrapment in our own homes become like a building pressure for us. So, like the psalmist, we experience loneliness, fear of death, weariness of body and mind. And like the psalmist, these add up and build up as psychological and mental stresses and pressure for many of us. In times of pressure, we want to scream out the pent-up frustration within of us. And for this psalmist, he wanted to cry out to God. He knew that many people in his position would do the same. However, he pointed out that not everyone cried out to the right places or the right God. Verse 6, he says, "I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord." But many were crying out to worthless idols. Here the psalmist identifies worthless idols as those which you cry out to, but you will have no response with. These were idols which could not see, or did not know the situation you were in. So basically, it is worthless and useless and hopeless to be crying out to the wrong places or to the wrong person. Today, we might be crying out to wrong places if we do not cry out to the right God. Socially, we might be crying out to wrong venues, which led to speculations and assumptions and perhaps even false reports. Almost every other day, we see or hear fake news and false reports which arose from angry or panicked people trying to cry out against the government or to incite emotional response from others. Be it in the creating of fake news or the indulging of false reports by forwarding them, we are like crying out to the wrong places. Places due to the fake nature will yield no positive outcome because it is simply not true. Why create fake news if it is not true? Why forward false reports if it has no positive outcome? These are like the worthless idols that the psalmist encounter, which could neither see or know or understand his situation. These were like slumbering gods or sleeping gods, which could not be bothered with humanity and their plight. I'm sure many of us have watched the Marvel Avengers movies, and there is superhero Thor. He was the son of this father of the gods, Odin. And there was a story, not in the movies, but somewhere in the comics as well, where this father of the gods, Odin, had to regularly enter into a slumber period called Odin's sleep in order to regain his energy. And during this time of Odin's sleep, Odin, the great god, sleeps and has not a care of the world's plight or dangers. This might be fictional, but do we sometimes also, in our cries of desperation, think that our God is asleep? Slumbering gods reminds me of the biblical account of the prophet Elijah, who challenged the prophets of the false god Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. The prophets of Baal were calling for Baal to magically send fire, but there was no response. They began to cry louder and even cut themselves until they were bleeding, but to no avail. Elijah finally sarcastically mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Of course, eventually, when it was Elijah's turn to cry out to God, and God responded, sending fire. Exciting story. Go read it yourself. But our God is definitely not a slumbering God. But initially, this psalmist in Psalm 31 thought that he was facing all these stress and issues because he too was crying out to the wrong place. He confessed that in verse 22 of Psalm 31. He said, "I said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight." In his haste and alarm, the psalmist had assumed that he had been cut from God's sight. That means God had not cared for him, much like those other worthless idols. But fortunately, the psalmist realized his initial mistake. God wasn't asleep. God heard the psalmist's pleas for mercy. And back in verse 7, the psalmist also wrote, "I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul." Indeed, God is not a slumbering God who sleeps, but God is one who sees and knows, one who hears our cries for help. And better still, God is one who responds. My second point, God who sees and knows. So the psalmist declares in verse 7 that God saw his affliction, God knew his distress, and in verse 32, God heard his cries. So God sees and knows and hears. God isn't sleeping. And so what? If God sees and knows and hears but does nothing, then this God will be an ignorant God. It will be like crying out to another human being. How can a fellow human being What could a fellow human being do when matters and issues are beyond them? For example, my wife and I, we keep up with the COVID-19 situation and the cases that we read on the news, and we watch as numbers of infected go up each day. We pray and we discuss together, and sometimes I find that in our discussion, we only make ourselves sink deeper into anxiety and distress. Oh no, more clusters of infection. Oh no, another death related to COVID-19. We will cry out to each other. We feel hopeless and helpless. We cry out to each other and we see and hear and know the situation. But just as my wife cannot help me of my situation of this anxiety, because it is beyond her, I cannot help her too. But thank God, God wasn't ignorant, for He was the one who helps. The psalmist continue in verse 8 how God was faithful and responded to his situation. Verse 8, he says, "You have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place." God did not deliver the psalmist into the hands of the enemy. The psalmist was still alive, and there was still hope enough for him that God would set things right. And the psalmist here described God in four ways that demonstrated that God was not just a person who sees, hears, and knows our plight, but that God was also caring and powerful. Here, I read for you from verses 19 to 21. He wrote, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and work for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city." First, in verse 19a, God is good. He is abundant in goodness. Because God is good, he will take care of his people. He is no slumbering God, and he is no uncaring God either. God is bothered with our lives, and he is good enough to care. Second, in verse 19b, because God is good, we can take refuge in him. It is safe to run to God. It is safe for us to cry out to him. For the psalmist, God is such a strong refuge that in verses 1 to 4 alone, the psalmist began writing this psalm with a praise that exclaimed and described God as his refuge 3 times, and God as his fortress 2 times, and God as a rock 2 times. For the psalmist, God was like a fortress made of solid, impenetrable rock, which was a safe refuge for him. Thirdly, in verse 20a, God is present. God doesn't just leave us alone in his refuge. God is there with us. So we will not be there alone or facing loneliness. We will never be alone, for God is present with us. His presence hides us and protects us from the fear of enemies and adversaries around us. It is one thing if I keep you safe under the protection of a strong fortress. It is something more when I am there with you, protecting you myself. And that's what God does. Fourth and lastly, in verse 21, God is love. And even when the psalmist was in a besieged city, that means under attack by his adversaries, God never stops to demonstrate his steadfast, unwavering love to him. Love is an emotion expressing God having a relationship with us. He isn't just protecting us as a hired mercenary. He is protecting us because he loves us. And that means God will go all out for us. So you see from these verses, the psalmist recognized God not just as one who is seeing, hearing, and knowing, but God is good. He protects us in his refuge. He is here with us, and he loves us. More than a human person, God is a powerful God the psalmist places his trust in. So, we can also place our trust in this God. My third point, trust and wait for the Lord. So we are faced with our psychological and mental stress each day. Like the psalmist, our physical mortal bodies are wearing down and our frail mental condition is under pressure, as if we are dreaded by neighbors and acquaintances and plotted against by enemies out to kill us. We feel alone and we worry for our lives. But the psalmist recognized that he wasn't alone. God is a God who sees and hears and knows. So he cried out to God. We can cry out to God with our stress and pressure. God not only sees and hears and knows our cries, but God is also good, provides us refuge. God is with us in his presence, and God loves us and is here caring for us. If God responds to our cries for help in these four ways, then how are we to respond to God? The psalmist demonstrated to us through this writing his own four responses back to God. Firstly, from the very beginning in verses 1 to 4, when the psalmist praised God for being a strong rock of refuge and fortress, the psalmist declared us immediately after that in verse 5, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." Now the psalmist committed his spirit into God's hand. Not just his limited physical mortality or his frail and anxious mind, but the psalmist offered to God his spirit, the eternal aspect of a human being. He trusted God with his spirit and he committed to that. It is also assuring for us to know that this verse was quoted by Jesus himself when he was crucified on the cross in Luke chapter 23. With all the sins of the world upon Jesus as he died for the sake of the world, this was the verse that Jesus chose to recite. That under his tremendous pressure and stress, Jesus too, like the psalmist, committed to God not just his body and his mind, but with his spirit. The second response from us in this psalm is trust. Verse 14 says, "I trust in you, O Lord, and I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand." That was the psalmist's response after verses 9 to 13, complaining against his failing mortal body, reproach from neighbors and friends, feeling loneliness and the threat of death from adversary. But the psalmist responds immediately in verse 14, "But I trust in you, O Lord, you are my God." The third psalmist's response was to love the Lord. In verse 23, he says, "Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride." Since God demonstrated his love for us in a relationship, let us love God in return. In response, in the engagement of this relationship that we have with a powerful and caring God. Finally, the psalmist responded to God with a courageous heart to wait. In verse 24, he says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord." You may notice that throughout all this, the trouble and adversities that the psalmist faced did not go away, because they didn't go away. Jesus promised in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in this world we will have trouble. And this is a fallen world filled with strife and difficulties. And it will remain so until the day that Jesus comes to bring us home to God. And that was why the psalmist asked for courage to face his adversities as he waited for God to free him. Indeed, instead of panic or anxiety, may we also find courage in our hearts as we wait for God to respond to our cries to Him. So in summary, we experience anxiety, loneliness, death, fear of death, weariness of our body and mind through the pressures of life, and especially in this COVID-19 situation. But we give thanks, for God is not a slumbering God. He sees, He hears, and He knows our afflictions. And because God builds a refuge of protection around us, we can commit our bodies, our mortality, our minds, our anxiety, our spirits, our soul, our whole to Him, just as how our Lord Jesus Christ had done. And because God loves us in a relationship, we can enter into this wonderful relationship with God and love Him in return. And because God is present here with us, we can trust that with our lives, our future, our families, and our loved ones would not be alone. And God will take care of us, for He is a good God. And because God is an abundantly good God, we can courageously wait for Him, for He will eventually deliver us from our adversities. This COVID-19 situation will be over. We just don't know how long it will take. But may we be humble to learn the valuable lessons that God intends for us to learn in this situation as we trust and wait for Him. That is the perspective of this troubled psalmist, a faith and hope in God despite his situation. In the same way, brothers and sisters, this is the perspective of us as Christians, who are God's children. We are not certain how long our troubles will last, but we are certain our God cares, our God is powerful, and our God is with us. We are certain of our relationship with Him. And so we can sing together with these psalmists, "Blessed be the Lord," as he wrote in verse 21, "and as we wait for the Lord." God is our refuge, who hears our cries and is worthy of our trust. I now have a few reflection questions that I'd like to present to you to think about. The first question is, what are you fearful and anxious about, especially today in this stay-at-home and home-based learning situation? What are you fearful and anxious about? Take some time to think about this first question. The second question I want to ask you is, in what ways has God been caring and powerful? In other words, how has God been caring and powerful? Maybe sometime in your history, or maybe by your knowledge of how you understand God, you have seen God to be caring and powerful. Reflect upon that. Remember those times. I'll give you some time to think about this and reflect upon it. Finally, I want to invite you to tell God about the fears and anxiety that you earlier identified. Come to Him. Present all these fears and anxiety to Him as we learn to trust and wait for His response to us in our lives. Come to Him now and pour out your stress, your burdens, your desperation, your fears, and your anxiety to Him right now. And I will later close us in prayer. Let us pray together. Dear God, we live in a fallen world, a broken world. We live in our frail and broken bodies, our mortality. We've lived in a life full of stress and pressure, be it from work, from school, even from home and family members. God, we live right now in a world of pandemic situation that is increasing the amount of burden and stress and pressure upon us. Help us, O God, in this situation, that although there are many things that are beyond us, and it seems like enemies and adversities are around us, threatening to take our lives, causing us distress and desperation, wearing us down, not just mentally, but physically as well. God, we give thanks to you that you have written in your word psalms such as Psalm 31 that we can identify with the psalmist and also learn to keep our faith in you. That you are a God who loves us. You are a God who is present with us. You are a God who is good. And you are a God who gives us a refuge. You are a God who sees and hears and knows our affliction, and you are worthy of all our trust. And as we continue to cry out to you, God, we give thanks to you that you are a God who will respond, who will answer our prayers. Help us through this situation, Lord, even with things that we cannot see or know, even when we are feeling hopeless and fearful. May we continue to have this hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. To know, God, that through you, an eternal life is secured for us. That there is this certainty that we can have because of our relationship with you. Remind us that we are not alone. That you are with us. And you will bring us through. We thank you. We praise you. And we just want to worship you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.